Shalom Aleichem. We're ready now to begin essay six. And in essay six, Rabbi Cook continues his polemic with secular Zionism. And together with this, he also has a little bit of a discussion and explanation with the ultra-Orthodox, that these are the two camps that he was faced with and he was constantly needing to deal with. So let's take a look at the text inside. I'll share my screen and we'll begin. First of all, the first word is Chaim. And before we go on, let me share an interesting experience. Last week I was in Oxford and I met a professor there who's doing scientific research on Rav Kook. And he's putting all of the 3 million words that Rabbi Cook wrote into search engines and into sorting engines. And he was looking for the four top words in Rav Cook's writings. What do we find? And it was interesting that he didn't find a big change, and he found that they're kind of consecutive throughout all of the writings, and that at least from the time that the rabbi was in Boisk and on, all of the writings seem to have a consistent content. And one of the things he found is that the word Chaim, the first word of this essay, is one of the big four. It's one of the words that appear very often in Rabbi Cook's writings, and it teaches us a little bit about the subject matter and the thought matter of Rav Kook, and that the idea of life. This is what he's writing about. Chaim anu im atziurim aruchnim shebishifa shel nishmat. That's a big sentence, a big sentence. What does it mean? And he says that we're living with the spiritual visualizations of the aspiration, which is in the neshama of the nation. Well, what does that mean? What do you do when you live with spiritual visualizations of the aspiration of the nation of the Jewish people? That sounds like a fun thing to do. Well, what does it mean? Well, to make it a little more concrete, what Rabbi Cook is talking about is that the Torah gives us specifics, and it's like directions for use of this world, and it is the aspiration of the neshama of the Jewish people. That is what the Torah is. The Torah explains exactly what it is that we're supposed to yearn for, and the fact that we're yearning for the Beit HaMikdash. So yearning for the Beit HaMikdash is part and parcel of our life. This is what we've been doing for 2,000 years. There's the famous story about Napoleon, who saw a Jew crying on Tisha B'Av. And he said, "What are you crying?" He said, "Well, we're crying over the temple." He said, "Well, when was it destroyed?" And he said, "Thousands of years ago." He said, "Well, I'm sure it's going to be rebuilt if you're still crying thousands of years later." And that's part and parcel of our spiritual aspirations and our visualization. What is our visualization? It means that when we learn the Shas and we learn Kodshim and Ta'arot and we learn all of the different machinations of the worship that went on in the Beit HaMikdash, and we learn all of the laws of the Korbanot, and we learn all of the laws of purity, and we understand the complete vision of the Jewish people in their entirety by knowing everything that there is to know about this vision. So that means that we are living with these spiritual visualizations. And it actually says that when you daven, you're supposed to experience a spiritual visualization as if you're a Kohen Gadol and you're standing in the Holy of Holies, praying in the part of the Holy of Holies that's in between the two Kruvim. And this is a spiritual visualization. And Rabbi Cook is explaining that that's our life. That's what our life is about. We live the Torah. And the Torah, this is a modern redefinition of the Torah. What is the Torah? The Torah is spiritual visualizations of what we want, of our aspiration as a people. Okay, that makes sense. So we live this. This is our life. Kol makom shenitzotzot or halalu genuzim, sham hinanu mikusharim. Wherever these sparks of light, might be hidden, that's where we are going to go. It kind of reminds me of last week again in Oxford, mulling through all of these old manuscripts, looking for sparks of Torah that are hidden deep down in the Bodleian library, because that's exactly what we do. And he's saying that we're connected to these sparks, and that wherever they are, we're connected to them with a connection of life and a connection of our neshama. Like, by definition, we are connected to the Torah. Ben shiyeh makom zeh, makom mamashi, midat haaretz. And he's saying now, where are these sparks of Torah likely to be hidden? And he's going to say wherever. And he's going to say, first of all, it can be an actual place. Midat Eretz, for instance, the sparks of our vitality are hidden within Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam brings an interesting halacha. Gedolei hachamim ayu mitgalgalim ba'afara u'mashkim et avaneha shel Eretz Yisrael. Great Torah scholars would roll in the dust of Eretz Yisrael and hug and kiss the stones of Eretz Yisrael. And this is where the sparks of holiness are hidden. And as a result, our vitality goes together with the vitality of these sparks, because some of these sparks are not only spiritual sparks that are found in the Torah, but they are manifest, and they actually form a finite three-dimensional geographical terrain, which is Eretz Yisrael, the promised land. And as a result, our love and our vitality and the force of life that we live, that takes us and brings us close to the Torah, is the same vitality that brings us close to Eretz Yisrael. Ben shiyu ma'asim sha'atziurim ha'elu kamusim biyesodam. Ben shiyu machshavot v'rayonot me'eze min shiyu. And Rabbi Cook is explaining that we can have two different kinds of sparks. And you can have spiritual sparks, and you can have materialistic sparks. And sometimes these sparks are going to be activities, and that they're going to be very physical. They're going to be the land of Israel, and they're going to be activities. All of the mitzvot that are part of our great heritage. All of these mitzvot, let's say taking, eating matzah on the Pesach and the Seder night. So this is a real physical activity, and you use real human teeth to take a bite out of matzah, which is made out of flour and water. And this act of eating matzah and digesting it on the night of the Seder is actually a very physical manifestation of one of these sparks, which is a spark of the aspiration of the Jewish people, which has 613 different manifestation and aspects in the actual world. So here Rabbi Cook is explaining, well, that's one possibility, that these sparks can be physical. Sometimes these sparks are going to be thoughts, and sometimes they're going to be ideas. And they're going to be thoughts and ideas that are thoughts and ideas that are part of some other idea, and that they're planted within foreign ideas. But sometimes the Torah and the concepts of the Torah are not only found in pure Torah thought, but you can find sparks of them in other thoughts as well. Okay, so this is a general introduction to the science of sparks. And here Rabbi Cook is saying that we live by these sparks. So it's something that's like really hard. It's not just like a stamp collection that you're going to collect sparks, but this is our life. That's what we live for. This is what we will fight and die for, because this is us. This is our life. So he says that the sparks can be found in the Torah. The sparks can be found in the land of Israel, and the sparks can be found in all of the mitzvahs, and sometimes in even foreign ideas. Let's go on. Sometimes these sparks will be found in the entirety of the written and oral Torah, and that's where we're going to find the aspirations of the Jewish people. And the entire Shas, the Shas in its entirety, actually gives us an idea of what the full vision of the Jewish people is. And when you look at the Shas in its entirety, you can see that in the Seder of Zrayim, we have the entire agricultural formation of the Jewish people, and we see exactly how we are supposed to celebrate septennial years and jubilees, and we're supposed to have an entire interaction between man and the promised land. We're also supposed to have a whole system of tithes, and as a result of this, we're going to be giving Trumot and Masrot to the Kohanim and to the Levim. And we have this entire beautiful socio-economic system displayed when you look at all of Seder Zra'im. Seder Moed, everyone is familiar with what is called Ma'agal HaShana, the cycle of the year, and all of the holidays and Shabbatot. And that when you look at the entire cycle of the year, you can understand this beautiful aspect of Judaism. Then you move into the family unit, Nashim, and you understand what it means to be a father, to be a mother, to father children, and what goes into building and, heaven forbid, dismantling a Jewish home. This is the entire Seder of Nashim. And then we have Nezikim. And Nezikim teaches us the proper interactions that are necessary for neighbors, and that we're all going to be together in the same holy land. So we have to know how to live together, and that who has to make sure that he doesn't damage another person in a certain way, and how to live happily together. This is the Seder of Zra'im. It also includes our entire judicial ministry. And it includes the Sanhedrin and all of the activities of the Sanhedrin. So we have a beautiful vision of the judicial system in in Seder Nezikim. And then we come to Kodshim and Taharot. And here we have the vision of the laws that pertain primarily to the Beit HaMikdash. And in Taharot, the laws of purity that pertain to the highest echelon of society, who maintain a spiritual purity at all times. So we have, when you take all the entire Shas and you look at it together, so you can understand the vision that a Torah scholar has of being internally, inherently related and connected to the spiritual aspirations of the Jewish people, to want to put into motion this beautiful system. בכללותה של התורה הכתובה במסורה ובהסתרגות כל ענפי הספרון הציור הרוחני היותר עליון ומקורי של חפץ האומה. In the Shas, and with everything that comes out of the Shas, which means not only the Mishnah, but the Gemara, and the Rishonim, and the Achronim, and everything, our entire giant corpus of study and books and Torah, everything. This is all part and parcel of our great vision. And it's the vision in the end of days that we will once again return and be able to achieve the aspirations of a great nation in the Holy Land. And he's explaining. Let's read it again. בכללותה של התורה הכתובה והמסורה והסתרגות כל ענפי הספרון הציור הרוחני היותר עליון המקורי של חפץ האומה. מצד מגמת חייה היותר עליונים. And this is where we see the aspirations of the nation in its most lofty, divine-seeking way. And we see it in its most enlightening fashion, in its understanding, in its explanation, in its thought patterns, in the fashion in which it's being taught, b'totzaot hashkafoteha, in the results of the different hashkafa that we're going to see from the Torah, al ha'avaya, al ha'olam, al ha'adam, the hashkafa, the outlook that we're going to have regarding the world, regarding existence, regarding mankind, al hayachid, al hachevra, regarding the individual, regarding the society, al hatov, al hara, regarding good and bad, al hachayim, al hamavet, regarding life and death. And Rabbi Cook is mentioning all of these concepts because this is the current philosophical jargon of his time. And we have the metaphysics of Kant. We have the morality that's being discussed at the time. We have existential thought that's beginning to take root. And he's explaining also all of the different the deliberation of the proper social form, whether it's communism, socialism, capitalism, democracy, as opposed to a communist state. Well, how are we supposed to organize our society? These are all of the questions that are being asked, and there are poignant questions at the time. And Rav Kook is saying that yes, we have within the Torah and all of its commentaries a vision which includes everything that's being deliberated, everything that's being discussed in the field of philosophy and social sciences. This is all discussed in the Torah, and we have a clear vision and an aspiration, and we want to take the Jewish people in a very clear, defined direction. The more we are able to relate to the Torah, and our nation is recognizing, and the Torah is available for us, the more that happens, that is what brings the soul of the Jewish people back to it. What is the soul? The soul is the organ that aspires within the Jewish people, and the Jewish people are able to aspire. So by learning the Torah, you actually enhance the capability of the Jewish people to aspire to this great vision. As a result, the power of our life increases and gets even better. Now, the activities, on the other hand, this are the mitzvot and not the study of Torah, they are the material foundations with which these idealistic aspirations are able to find formulation and body. And it leaves its treasures within these activities. Now here, Rabbi Cook has an interesting equation, and he's saying that the more we study the Torah, the more we will have the hidden light within the activities, all of the activities, and will also reveal the beautiful relationship that the Jewish people have with God and the way we plan through our nation to be a vehicle and a conduit to bring God to the entire world. Okay, well, that sounds like a really great vision. And now Rabbi Cook is going to get into a little more nitty-gritty with secular Zionism. Yesh asher yikashlu achayim b'mahalacha v'lo yatzru koach lelechet imatziyum. Now, sometimes life can be difficult, and as a result, they're not going to be able to live by these great spiritual visualizations, the entire visualization of the Jewish people in all of its grandeur. As a result, the spirit that wishes to actualize this vision is also going to be mitigated. Az tivaled mevucha, vadeot mitpalgot. At that point, we're going to be faced with a state of perplexion, and the different opinions are going to begin to mutually militate, and we're going to find different opinions about the different things because we're just not going to be able to do what we wanted to say. Well, I don't know what to do. We just don't know where to take things. Amitzei ruach yomru, those who are valorous, they are going to say, "Hachayim em alulei machala, avogam alulim lashuv." Life is full of disease, but it's also full of complete health. The more we are connected to life, the more we have security. What is Rav Kook saying here? He's saying that the more you live, you're in danger of sick, of getting sick. Dead people are not in danger of getting sick. But once again, if you're alive, you have the capability of getting over being sick and getting healthy again. This is what Rav Kook is seeing as the spiritual revival of the Jewish people as they come into Eretz Yisrael. Once again, we have secular Zionism that is leading the political path, and Rabbi Kook is seeing them as people that are sick, that are not complete in the spiritual visualization and the aspiration of returning the Jewish people to their grandeur of yore, once again being a conduit for all of the nations of the world to bring the world closer to Hashem. That's not necessarily the goal of secular Zionism. But Rav Kook is saying that even though without an understanding of the Torah, you're going to have a truncated visualization and a truncated vision and aspiration, nevertheless, at least you're alive. And when you're alive, you're in the ball game. And someone who's still alive has a shot at getting better. The more a person associates with life, the more he associates with the security that he'll get better. The dear ideals that are hidden within our mitzvot, they are the ideals that impel us, and they desire to reach a kinetic fruition. These aspirations want to touch ground. They want to actually be realized. And the ideas that we learn of may the Beis HaMikdash be built, may the Mashiach come, it's not only lip service. We really want a flesh and blood human being who is going to be the Mashiach, that he will come and he will be a player in the real political interactions of the world. This is exactly who we want and what we want. And together with this, we want the Beit HaMikdash. And when we say that we want the Beit HaMikdash, we're not talking about some kind of spiritual, metaphysical temple in heaven. We're talking about a real temple that's made out of real building materials, that's going to be in a real place in the center of Jerusalem. On Har HaBayit, it could be that the Dome of the Rock will have to be moved to someplace else. And this is an aspiration, and our aspirations are not only spiritual and denuded of any reality. We want them to be manifest. And that a person who is a Torah scholar has not only spiritual aspirations, but his spiritual aspirations bring him to want their materialization, want their real life existence in the real world. Hein tzurchim la'ir et kol cheshkat ha'chaim ba'choshech adin ha'gadol hu v'rav me'o. These ideals are what has to expel the darkness of life. And at this point, Robert Cook is talking 100 years ago. We've made progress, but we can still say this sentence that the darkness is still very great, indeed, very great. We can't say that our spiritual aspirations have achieved their entire meaning and purpose until they are realized. We can't say that they are fulfilled until the material actualization of these aspirations are fulfilled. We are not about to leave the banner. And this is the request of secular Zionism to the Orthodox. And they're saying, Orthodoxy, you've been Orthodox long enough. Now it's time to leave the banner and join us on our bandwagon. Rabbi Cook is answering Achad Ha'am in this claim. And he's saying, no, we're not about to leave our banner. We're not about to leave what we believe in. Nisa v'nisvol ba'ava. We will continue and we will carry the burden and we will suffer with love until we're able to bring about the aspirations that we want into a physical reality. Niglom befall b'maasim et ha'machshava gdola shel ha'neshama Yisraeli. We're going to wait until we're able to actualize the great aspirations and ideals that are found in the Israeli neshama. Kasher echela u'ma lasot me'az ha'tchila lirot chaim kvaliim shela. This is the aspiration of the neshama that began with the creation of the Jewish people. Ve'im ha'sevel kaved yoter mishekvar hayamim. And if this is difficult. Hello, kidaiti hamigama laset ba'avura al haloze kvar yatzanu me'achuk shel ha'amim yiladim kalei ha'da'at ha'katzim ve'fulot rutziniyot she'en ha'natan v'tzidan. Hinenu mevakerim v'da'at regesh ishim alei yudim ech lichyot ve'ech lisa b'mnuchat lev v'chevetz kabir. Et al ha'chayim l'shem matara gdola af al pi she'odenu k'musa sofa lehigalot. Here, Rabbi Cook is explaining that it's difficult. We've got a burden. Like, if we would just defect to secular Zionism, our lives would be so much easier and we could actualize what we want without all this really heavy baggage. And that when you're talking about actualizing the vision of the Shas, that's a really heavy thing. Whereas if you just want a secular state where people can just kind of live together and we just want to take the Roman British law and we'll accept a kind of British parliament and we'll just kind of wing it, then it makes it so much easier to actualize. And Rav Kook is saying, yes, it's true that it's much easier to actualize a vision of secular Zionism than it is to actualize a vision of authentic Orthodox Judaism, but that doesn't bother us. Even though it's easier, we're willing to suffer through this for the sake of our future, and that it's worth the suffering. And here Rabbi Cook is saying something that we're no longer junior nations, that we have to jump at an opportunity and change our idealism for pragmatic purposes. And he says that we're an old, mature nation, and we know how to wait patiently and to see empires crumble and to watch until we're able to properly actualize our vision with the patience. And as a result, we're willing to carry this burden and to wait until we're able to bring this. And we're not going to be seduced by the easy implementation of secular Zionism. This is what Rabbi Cook says that experience has given us. I think we'll leave the rest of this essay for tomorrow. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to answer. And if not, we will end here. And I'm looking forward to seeing everyone tomorrow. Until then, stay safe. Shalom.